Welcome to the Dairobi Health Show. Before we get started, I have some swag for you. Here at the Dairobi Health Show, I have very humble goals. All I want is to help you become a fully realized human being with the body of a Greek statue. So here's some terrific resources to help you along in your quest. First of all, check out our resources page. There's a wealth of free downloads and printables there. The crowning jewel of the collection is our 10-page PDF called the Dairobi Undiet. It's foundational to everything I've learned in my 12 years as a professional in the health industry. From interviewing over 150 world-class experts on everything regarding nutrition, supplementation, fitness, disease prevention, and longevity. It's only 10 pages, but there's a lot of graphics. It's an easy, enjoyable read. Your kid could get through it in about 5 minutes. Check it out. Also, while you are there at Dairobi.com, that's D-I-R-O-B-I.com, pick up anything your heart desires and save 15% with the coupon code INSIDER. That's INSIDER to save a generous 15%. If you really want to move the needle on your health, try one of our transformation program packages found on the deals page. Our core pack is a really amazing combo. Everyone knows that the basic blocks of supplementation are vitamins and minerals. And as a matter of fact, from polling of our customers, we know that the top three concerns that people have in their health, after about age 30 anyway, are weight loss, energy, and dealing with brain fog. And guess what? These two products are specifically designed to help with those things and to fill in the deficiencies that it's highly likely that you have. So you can save an additional 20% off these products using our subscribe and save. And everybody on a transformation program package at Dairobi qualifies for our regularly held 90-day transformation program, where you get 90 days of incredible coaching delivered through our app, including daily check-ins, outstanding, easy-to-follow trainings, and all the information you need to develop that Greek statue-like body in an easy, sustainable way without calorie counting or caloric restriction or having to do anything crazy, expensive, or difficult. All this is available right now at Dairobi.com. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the Dairobi Health Show, everybody. Today I've got Jonathan DePotter. Jonathan, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, broadcasting from around the world. You're in Thailand at the moment, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Is that your permanent residence right now?
Yeah, you know, I was working here in management consulting for a few years, and then I was kind of in the transition out of that world and into, you know, the psychedelic ecosystem. And as COVID was kind of kicking off, I decided to come down here to the islands. And so I've been here for the past 18 months.
Okay, well, sounds terrific. And let's just jump in and give everyone a feel for what you do. You are the founder, right, of Behold Retreats. And for those of you listening, let me just read what you'd find out if you go to beholdretreats.com. At Behold Retreats, we facilitate life-changing plant medicine journeys to explore your inner world, discover your truth, and live to your full potential. We guide clients that are ready to accelerate personal and spiritual growth to realize the full transformational benefits of plant medicine like ayahuasca and psilocybin, and provide safety, expertise, and curation with memorable private and group retreats available in idyllic locations. So very, very interesting concept, something that is really becoming more and more interesting to people. It's gaining more and more traction. There's more and more discussion about this topic. I think it's a very important topic. So first of all, thank you for coming on the show to discuss these things with us. And if there's anything that I just said that wasn't quite right, or anything you want to say about your background, go ahead and just share a little bit about that now.
Yeah, sure. So I guess, you know, this door was first opened for me about 5 years ago now. And I was actually an atheist non-believer at the time. And so through having a few friends join me in Peru at an ayahuasca retreat, it really swung the door open to spirituality for me. And the benefits that have come from, you know, working 16 hours a day in Hong Kong and management consulting to, you know, kind of balancing mind, body, heart, and spirit And it wasn't an easy journey, but it's been, you know, something that has just provided daily benefits and so many that it's, you know, over that journey became very motivated to help people avoid the mistakes that I had made over those years, and to get those deeper breakthroughs that are available, and to sustain more of the benefits that are available through working with plant medicine. Because, you know, there's a lot out there these days in relation to this space. But the dominant narrative today is that it helps with the lower levels of consciousness, right? So anxiety, depression, PTSD, all of these sorts of, you know, ailments that, of course, we want those people to be better. But what's missing, I think, from the narrative is that we can use these medicines not just to address illness, but also to promote health. And so what we focus on is taking people from good to great, if that makes sense, and providing the expert guidance to do so.
Yeah, and for some listeners, this will be really interesting, something that they've heard a little bit about somewhere and probably want to know more about. And for others, it could be a very scary subject, because we're now dealing in the realm of psychedelics and psychotropics, I guess. And we have this scary word drugs in our society that I think is one of the worst words ever made. Like, to have one word that describes everything from aspirin to caffeine to cocaine to meth really makes absolutely no sense. And yet words really matter. So when we have one drug that covers everything from something that's meant to deal with the mild level of pain to something that's generally considered scary to people, like a psychedelic drug, it doesn't do any good to the whole conversation. And so maybe we could go into starting with simple definitions. You use the word plant medicine. Can you tell us what that means and what plants fit the description?
Yeah, the reason I use the word plant medicine is I think it's a more accurate description, right? So a lot of these medicines are coming from plants. The definition has certainly broadened out, right? It often includes things like psilocybin, which is, of course, a fungi rather than a plant, strictly speaking. And there are also some of these that are, you know, say 5-MeO-DMT, what actually comes from a toad, or there's a synthetic version as well. So the definition itself is expanding a little bit to, you know, to cover what is often more accurately described as entheogens. So those are, you know, the psychedelic mind altering substances, which can include, it can include psilocybin, magic mushrooms. It can include LSD. It can include San Pedro or peyote, which are cacti, ayahuasca, which I mentioned before, which is a powerful medicine from Central and South America. There's iboga, which is from Africa, and you know, any other number of medicines that are less popular. But those are the main ones that you tend to hear people talk about. Now, what happens with these medicines is that they are amplifying your access to your subconscious and amplifying the energies that exist within your body. And so, you know, when you spoke about, yeah, this can be a little bit scary. And I think that's exactly right, because often we have things that are within our subconscious, or these experiences can give us access to areas of our subconscious, or indeed, you know, the broader collective consciousness, that can be frightening. And so, you know, I always encourage our clients or prospective clients to really make sure that they do a lot of their own thinking, a lot of their own research, and most importantly, that they develop their own motivations, right? So when clients say, oh yeah, two of my friends did this, this sounds really great, I want to do this. It's like, okay, that's fine, but like, why do you want to do this? So I think it's super important that people spend plenty of time and energy to develop their own why, and then go into, you know, understanding the stories that are out there and the pros, the cons, you know, some of the challenges that can arise.
Okay. And I think your story is interesting, because you came at this as an atheist. Now, we know from several studies into some psychedelics that people who are atheists often come out believers after experimenting. You're not the first one. I suppose the most famous one has got to be Timothy Leary and the experiments he did at Harvard and with LSD in the 60s. And he also went from becoming a hard-headed scientist to realizing through LSD that there was more to the game somehow. And he became Ram Dass, right? And for those of you that don't know this story, I highly recommend the first five or six episodes of the Ram Dass Show on podcast. It's absolutely fascinating. It'll just suck you right in to hear this backstory. So that's the most famous example I know of. And then he became a spiritual guru. And to this day, many people absolutely love his teachings. And so, you know, like I said, he's maybe the most famous. You are now offering a similar thing in a very organized way and with a lot more science. I mean, the experimentation they did in the 60s is kind of mind-blowing and a little bit scary. You're now operating with 70 years of research behind you in this subject and with a lot more of a base. But on the other hand, there's people who are raised with belief systems, right? And by their parents and going to Sunday school and whatnot, who look at it from a very, very different point of view, right? So they, and many people, whether religious or not, again, raised with a probably healthy skepticism of drug use, addiction, all those things that go into that massive bucket that we call drugs. So I don't know whether there's a question in there, but I guess I just picture the different backgrounds people come from, right? Mm. And their introduction to the subject and how you address people from different walks of life and discuss what your work is and how it could help people.
Yeah. It's, you know, I'll start answering that by contextualizing the plant medicine traditions have been broadly wiped out across the world. As colonialism has spread, we often hear about, you know, the witches being burned. Those were, in essence, the plant medicine practitioners. And so the places where these traditions have been preserved tends to be in places like high in the Andes or deep in the Amazon. So these traditions have kind of reemerged from those locations. Now, the reason I share that is that, you know, often people hear that the quote unquote, the right way to work with plant medicine is to go and work with these ancient plant medicine traditions that have been preserved, right, in the Amazon and in the Andes. And thankfully, you know, they have been preserved because now so many people are traveling to those locations and learning from those people. The ancient wisdom is then being, you know, spread back out throughout the world, which is super important. Now, in saying that, these are powerful subjective experiences, right? So, and I always, you know, when we work with clients, you know, some people might be coming from, you know, a very strong Christian background. Others may be Muslim. Others may be atheist like myself and seeking to open that door. And so, you know, we always work with clients in a way that allows, you know, the subjectivity of the experience to unfold, right? Because fundamentally, almost regardless of what religion or tradition that you believe in, there are higher truths that have been accessed, you know, from these traditions and then, you know, propagated out into a broader base. And so that's what this work is fundamentally all about. It's reconnecting people with that, with their inherent divinity, and allowing them to reach higher states of consciousness so that they can discover these universal truths for themselves. So whether we're talking about universal love, right, which is that love is, you know, the unifying law that sits above all rationality, whether it's the interconnectivity of all things, which, you know, is an experience that tends to lead people towards vegetarianism or veganism because they fundamentally feel very different about things and other things in the world at that point. God consciousness, right, which is the understanding that there's a relationship between our consciousness and the broader, you know, God consciousness and an experience and many other mystical, spiritual, powerful experiences that then, you know, the work is about integrating that into our daily lives and how we treat ourselves, how we treat others. And how we can live with more joy, peace and love through having, you know, this improved understanding.
Okay. So there is in the meditation community, especially what I'd consider the modern meditation community and perhaps even labeled the secular meditation community, the Sam Harris's, Jack Kornfield, Sharon Salzberg's, Tara Brock, those people, I often hear of early drug experimentation in their own story. And with Sam Harris in particular, how he experimented with a drug that gave him this intense feeling of love that he'd never experienced before. It opened his mind, or his heart, I think he would probably more accurately say, to the sensation of loving everybody. He said, if anyone would have walked through that door, no matter who they were, my greatest enemy could have walked through that door right then, and I would have loved them unconditionally. And he had never, ever felt that before. I've heard him tell that story. I think it's fascinating. Many of them have that in their background. And now they've got these great podcasts, you know, the Waking Up podcast, and Sharon Salzberg has one, and Joseph Goldstein and Jack Kornfield. And many of these people went through and knew Ram Dass and some of that history. This is at least what I know of, you know, this is just kind of from my perspective, my world. But again, that introduction, that mind expanding or soul expanding or heart expanding experience, whatever that is, I assume that's what you're trying to create. And is it kind of a one-time experience through the retreat that then people hopefully go home on a higher level? Is that the MO?
Yeah. So what we tend to do is a little bit deeper than just the retreat component, right? And the motivation behind this is, again, based upon my own years of mistakes. The way that I look at this work now is that it's very easy to have a powerful transcendent psychedelic experience and wow, you know, universal love. Now, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But what we're actually trying to do is we're trying to sustain a higher level of consciousness. So it's actually very easy to bypass the ego structure, go up into a high level of consciousness, have an experience, and then land back at the level of consciousness that you started before. So that's very much not what we're looking for. What we try to do with our clients is 3 weeks before a retreat, a 1 week retreat typically, and then 3 weeks after a retreat. Now, what we do for the 3 weeks before and after is predominantly mental and emotional work. So very much grounded in the 3D. So what we try to do with people is to help them understand their mental and emotional blind spots. So we all have patterns of mind, negative thinking, not very nice self-parenting, self-talk that we might like to rewire. And so we help people become conscious of that, those negative patterns of mind. We help them surface the negative emotions, right? So we all have many layers of shame, guilt, fear, grief, apathy, anger, envy, pride, stuck in our physical body, right? So these emotions are stored in the physical body. And so we help them understand that. We help them begin to process and release those emotions in preparation for the work with plant medicine. And so when you know the patterns of mind to be changed, when you know the emotions to be released, then with that expanded access with plant medicine, we can really accelerate that process, right? So it's not that plant medicine is a silver bullet. What the science tells us is that number one, plant medicine can help us reconnect with our joy for life, which is amazing and beautiful. Number two, it can help us deepen our spirituality. And number three, most importantly, and this is what people are overlooking, it cannot help us remove our feelings of negativity and toxicity. So that's our self-determination in our own evolution and our own process towards enlightenment, or whatever you might like to call it. So that's the work that needs to be done. And a lot of people are going on psychedelic retreats or doing psychedelics and, you know, having profound experiences. But the question is whether or not their breakthroughs, whether or not their experiences are related to the ego structure or something that's kind of bypassed around it because they haven't done the mental and emotional work.
Okay. And one of the reasons I mentioned those people who are kind of in my world and podcasts I listen to and interests of mine is because of a pattern I've noticed that they're all meditators, and all of them, I believe, experimented with drugs at least at some point along the way, and often do not do drugs anymore. Although Sam Harris famously did a large dose of psilocybin last year and then, you know, shared the experience on his podcast, which is quite interesting. But the bottom line, whether through the drug or through meditation, a core part of it seems to be the separation of thought. Most people are associated and deeply attached to their thoughts. They think they are their thoughts, right?
Yeah.
And I'm teaching a rapid weight loss class on Thursday night. I'm doing a 1-hour workshop on the Life Extend app. And it's a lot of fun to do. I've got a set of slides and teachings that I do. Nothing crazy. And it's not one of these, like Tom Hanks losing 50 pounds to be on Castaway, you know, it's not that rapid of weight loss. It's just a little more quickly than the 2 pounds a week traditional thing. One of the things that's always interesting is that I can teach all those principles, but if the person thinks I'm a fat person, sorry to be not politically correct, but if the thoughts are in their own mind that they have a belief of who they are and how they ought to be, and maybe the way they were raised has influenced strongly their physique, right? And so knowing all these things won't help if deep down they have negative self-talk and deep-rooted thoughts around what they should look like or how much they should weigh, right? Yeah. And so part of the self-improvement process there would be to develop healthier thought patterns around their health. Mm. Of course, this is a health show. And one of the reasons I'm happy to and really excited to have you here is to take this particular subject and talk in specific terms on how it could help people with their health, right? And the mind-body integration there is something that you deal with all the time. So again, a long question, kind of rambling, but there was a question in there of how does this affect people's overall health?
Yeah. And so the way that I generally speak about this is in relation to mind, body, and spirit. What I'll probably do is rattle through what I understand to be benefit. Number one, benefits that have been proven by science. Number two, what I know to be possible, but hasn't yet been proven by science. And I think there's quite a bit that fits into that category, which is very exciting. And then you can guide the conversation from there. In terms of the benefits to the body, these medicines are shown to be neurogenetic, right? I'm starting with the mind. So neurogenetic. So it starts with, it really does create new neurons in the brain. The second is neuroplasticity, right? So it reconnects regions of the brain. If you look at a scan of your typical Western brain, what you see is there's a small subset of neural pathways that's being overused. And that's because most of us have been traumatized and most of us are overwhelmed by just the complexities of everyday modern life. So as a response, almost like energy efficient response to the overwhelm, we tend to become quite patterned in the way that we see the world and the way that we engage with the world. And that actually has quite a debilitating effect upon the plasticity of our brain. Now, the more that time goes on, the more that can become entrenched. So, I think we all have someone in our lives where if you were to present them with some new piece of information, you already know how they're going to respond to that information. So they become, it's sad. They've lost the function of the brain. They've become deterministic in their thinking, which is a tragedy, right? It's also been shown to improve creativity. I think through this work, we can also become much more aware of our patterns of minds and begin to not only improve the thought quality, but reduce the thought quantity, right? So National Science Foundation did research that shows average person has between 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day. Almost 100% of them are egoic thoughts. So I, me, my, so it's just about me. 95% of those thoughts are repetitive. So we're having the same thoughts over and over again. And here's the real kicker. 85% of those thoughts for your average person are negative. So we're having lots of thoughts only about ourselves over and over again, mostly negative. That's really what's going on within most people's minds. And that's, that's a function again of the trauma, the challenges that were experienced early in life, and the app, that can absolutely be rewired. And I think through that process, to come back to your weight loss point, once people can begin to get some of those rewiring, there's a real improved motivation, right, for self-care, because it's coming not from a place of self-hatred. That's the shift that people need, right? If it's coming from, oh, I'm not good enough and I'm this and I'm that, it's really hard to motivate yourself from that place. But if you can get the shift where it's just, I love myself, I am exactly where I need to be because that's where I am. I can't be at odds with reality, right? If we're trying to create a wedge between what is and what we want to be, that's a painful existence, right? Whereas if we just accept, we're like, okay, I love myself as I am, and I can be better. And that's one of the many, you know, beautiful paradoxes of life, is everything is okay as it is, and it can be better. And so now that's yeah. coming from a place of self-love, right? So those are the benefits that I see in terms of mind. In terms of body, you often hear about the mind-heart connection and the intuition, right? I think that's a big one. Something that I would have laughed at years ago, because I was always using my mind for these things and my body for those things. But reestablishing right. a very deep connection there is super important. I think there's also something to do with presence, which keeps you in the moment, right? So as you establish that mind-body connection, you don't find your mind drifting off into past and future so much. You're more here in the moment, and that's important. We've got the first scientific paper on epigenetic benefits, so actually showing that through working with plant medicine, we can in fact change our gene expression, which is very exciting, and I think that's just the beginning of what's possible there, because most of my mentors, that's a lot of what they're trying to teach me, is how to reconnect dormant DNA, which is very exciting. And then better managing triggers and emotions, right? So we all have those moments where, you know, in that moment, we lose our patience or frustrated, whatever it is. Each and every one of those moments is a window to healing. And so we have to look at ourselves and see, what is it that got triggered within me? And often there's trauma release that can come from that. And then there's just the physical healing, right? So there's stories and science in relation to cancer, autoimmune diseases. We've had clients that have come out, I've got such an amazing vision after that retreat. It's like, oh, well, you know, what are you going to do in the future? And she's like, no, my eyes, like, I've never been able to see like this before in my life. And I'm like, wow, that's incredible. So there are quite deep healing benefits. You know, I do encourage, it begins to sound like a bit like a silver bullet, right? Which is not something that I stand for, but you know, for people who are suffering from physical ailments, generally would encourage them to look at the anecdotal or scientific evidence that's out there for particular physical ailments, because there's a lot there as well. And then from a spiritual perspective, you know, there's I'll rattle through this quickly, but there's kind of, I would say there's a removal of energetic dissonance, right? We all have dissonant energies that have been stored in our bodies and we want to be releasing out through this work. The other, you know, we've talked a little bit about is reaching higher states of consciousness. That's, I mean, when you do, that's incredible, right? When you have the full out of body of experience and you come back with the understanding that you're not your mind, you're not your thoughts, you're not your body, you're something that's much bigger and much more eternal. That's a very powerful experience. And often, you know, through these experiences, we deepen our understanding of the relationship between self and the universe, and are given some guidance in terms of, you know, purpose, guidance in terms of unique gifts and strengths and skills and what might be next for us in life. So, you know, that's a lot of the motivation people come for, you know, for that divine guidance, is like, okay, what am I here for? And I think not a single one of us is a random permutation of evolution. We are all here. We all have something to give. And more people are getting, you know, don't want to work at the desk job anymore. They want to find, what's the thing that I'm going to give to the world? And so it's very exciting.
Okay. So someone comes to you, they sign up for the retreat, and what happens? What do you do? What's the process?
Yeah, sure. So so two ways we guide clients. One is through the 7-week process, and the second is through the retreat process. Which one do you want to talk through?
Both. I just knew, you know, it's retreat, so I wasn't aware of a 7-week deal. Uh-huh. So maybe just give us the short version of each one.
Cool. So yeah, I'll go through the 7-week process, and that should give you probably a pretty good idea of both. So so usually clients come through our website, we schedule a consultation, we go deep with them in terms of where they're at, where they'd like to be, what's stopping them from getting there, just so we can assess whether we are a good fit to serve them. We typically, as I mentioned, we help people who are doing pretty well, help them do quite a bit better, rather than, you know, people who are suffering from acute addiction or, you know, anxiety, depression, those sorts of things. That's really not our forte. That's, you know, different type of work. So once we establish that we're a good fit for them, they're a good fit for us, then we bring them through a safety screening, right? So it's very important that that we understand all of the people's medical history and make sure that this is in fact going to be safe for them. You know, through the course of the consultation, we will have selected a retreat as well, and as well as understood what they're working on. So then we match them with a coach or a therapist, depending upon what they're working on. They'll be heading to one of our retreats, say in Portugal or in Mexico, Costa Rica, Peru, for example. and typically a 1 week retreat. So the 3 weeks before, we help them get very clear on their future self. So we all have some idea of, you know, what we've loved in life, what we're really good at, what we're not so good at. And so we help them get clear on future self, you know, across all the dimensions of life. Then we help them understand where they're at in terms of their current, you know, thinking patterns about themselves, limiting beliefs, limiting behaviors, try and surface that stuff, get them working on some of the mental and emotional work with their coach. There's a whole bunch of exercises that we have for guided self-inquiry. So questions that you can ask yourself that are probably going to help you see yourself a little bit differently than you have before and actually become aware of some of the, often we're not aware of how mean we are to ourselves. It's the self-parenting is just not as loving as we might like it to be. So we start to begin to get some of those shifts before the retreat. We teach people the tools for managing their thoughts. We teach people the tools for managing their emotions. And I think that's 80% of it, right? I always say to people, this is 80% mental and emotional work. You don't actually want a psychedelic retreat. What you want is improvements to the quality of life. And if that's the case, then it's the stuff in the 3D that's going to make the difference to your journey. And then that's going to allow you to anchor that back in the 3D, which is what you're looking for. I mean, it's nice to have a profound spiritual experience, but okay, that's a week, right? So it's not lasting benefit. So that's really a lot of what we do beforehand. Then we do a week retreat. We would typically do 3 or 4 ceremonies with a plant medicine over the space of a retreat. We do much smaller groups than what you'll typically find out there. So a lot of retreat centers are doing 20, 25. There's even places that do 50 or 100 people in a room, which to me is like, wow. We do group sizes more like 6 to 8, 10, because it's just a lot more intimate. So, so we would do, you know, some yoga, some meditation, beautiful vegetarian meals, plenty of time for resting, reflection, journaling, that sort of thing. And then, of course, you know, 3 or 4 ceremonies over the week, and then integration, right? So the way to get and keep these benefits is to anchor to that future self. You'll get a bunch of downloads over the course of the retreat, but then you got to do the work after the retreat. A lot of people are like, wow, my life's changed. And then they skip the integration part. And then they find that actually, no, their life hasn't changed because they return to the stresses of work, family, daily life, et cetera. And those feelings of negativity and toxicity as, you know, the neuroplasticity wears off and you're kind of coming down from your retreat over the week or the weeks that follow, then they say, oh, I'm exactly back where I was because they've skipped a lot of the integration work. And so we encourage people, you know, keep that meditation practice, do the breath work. You know, you got to look at your journal every day in the morning and in the evenings. Did I live up to the expectations that I have of myself? Where am I potentially going to fall short in the day ahead? How did I do in the day behind me? All of that is really where the magic happens.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I've been on meditation retreats and also heard many people speak about their meditation retreats. And even Joseph Goldstein talked about being in, I think it was, he was in Thailand for 2 years and had many days of complete bliss and light and enlightenment and came home thinking he was an enlightened being. And so it took about 2 weeks around his family to learn that he was not an enlightened being. And it was kind of an interesting a story that I think we can all relate to. And so I totally track with you on the whole integration thing and the importance. We all have these experiences in life, whether your retreat or just any really great experience or life-changing experience we can have. I think of Jack Kornfield's guru who had a similar experience and went to the greatest Buddhist teacher in I don't remember where now, but thought he didn't know that there was any, he couldn't figure out what else to do in his practice. And so he sought out the great guru and said, I've had all these experiences. I've been to the top of the mountain. I've had all these experiences out of body. He explained all these experiences. And the guy chuckled and he said, those are just experiences. I want to ask you the question, who is having them? And I thought that was super profound, you know, that little story right there. Because again, yes, we can have great experiences. We can have wonderful experiences. And they don't last, but we can have our mind, you know, Einstein's quote that, the mind once expanded doesn't go back to its original dimension. So the way I'm hearing what you're saying is you could have this great transformative experience on the retreat. And hopefully you don't come down to the level you're at before. You probably come down, but then you do this integrative work that you talked about. Mm-hmm. And then I imagine another peak experience at some time in the future, maybe another retreat, another getaway from your normal everyday life into a place where you can really have your mind expanded again. And then kind of that back and forth. Is that kind of the long-term way people do this?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the first thing I'd say is that often even just going on one retreat, people find it really does help their meditation practice, right? So you mentioned earlier that there seems to be some sort of a link there with people who are able to persist with meditation and people who work with plant medicine. I think that's right, because I think with plant medicine, you can really remove some of the blockers that most beginners experience. And so that really does help to deepen the experience. You know, in terms of how people continue to explore this work after a first experience, it really depends on the individual. You know, there's some people who are like, wow, that was incredible. You know, I got to tell my brother I'm selling my apartment and, you know, I'm just going to stay down here and we're going to see what happens. It happens, right? You hear these stories. Then there's other people who go straight back to the desk job at Goldman Sachs, right? And they're straight back into 16-hour days. And you're like, wow, that's quite the shift from, you know, a week on retreat with mind expansion back into the world. There's no right and wrong in terms of, you know, if and how and when people continue on that journey. But I think, you know, for most people, it does tend to open a door. And if they're curious and they've had a positive experience, then they will generally, you know, continue to explore that over time.
Okay, sounds good. So you're looking for people who want this type of experience, who are not struggling with a major condition or you're not looking for a person who really needs a psychologist or psychiatrist. You're looking for a person who's generally well, but who's looking for more.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, most of our clients are busy people. So I would say the area that we specialize is really with leaders, right? So we're focused on impact, but we serve a broader clientele as well. So, you know, we focus on those people because they're the most traumatized, actually. So the dynamic, I don't know if you've seen the film Wisdom of Trauma by Gabor Mate, but there's a dynamic within that he points to, which I think is accurate and very interesting, which is, I'm actually going to do a slight tangent first. In Malcolm Gladwell's book, in Outliers, the first chapter of that book, he talks about how in the NHL, in hockey, all of the professional hockey players are in the same kind of like 3-month window, right? And it's just because when they start at 5 years old, they're so much more dominant on the ice.
Born, and like 80% of all-stars are born between January and March or something.
That's right. Yeah, it's incredible, yeah. Right? And so there's a similar sort of dynamic, I think, that's playing out here in terms of people who are driven to success in the world. And so what's happened is that there's been some traumatic event early in life, which has disconnected the person from themselves to some extent. And so they actually need external validation in order to be made to feel whole. And so the people who are the most successful in this world are the people who fit that description, because they consistently over time have required external validation from a young age. And that's perpetuated through into, you know, careers that have been super, super successful, but they are traumatized and they need that external validation. And so that's a large part of why we target those people, is because often they don't, like, this was my story, right? I was leading a large team in Accenture, you know, consulting, working ridiculous hours. And I just didn't know that I was disconnected from myself. And so once that was made available to me, I was like, oh, okay, wow. Now I, the human experience is so much more exciting than I thought it was. And so that's, you know, a large part of why we seek to serve those people.
Okay. Well, Jonathan, this has been super interesting. I've looked forward to having you on the show and to hearing what you had to say about this topic. How do people learn more about you?
Come check us out. We're at behold-retreats.com. And, you know, if what we have to say sounds of interest, then come and have a chat.
Sounds good. And there actually is just one more important, I think I touched on it earlier, but I'd like to have you address, and that's just safety. Like I said at the very beginning, the word drugs means way too many things. It's a largely misunderstood word. You're using drugs. Plant-based medicine is a better way to say it. And yet people will still have some fear. Mm-hmm. And so if you just address that one last point, I think that's an important thing to cover.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, the most important thing as people explore this work is that they do go through a high quality safety screening, right? So we have a 6-page safety screening form where we ask people about all of their history. You know, there's a number of mental health disorders that are contraindicated, right? Most commonly, it's anything psychosis, schizophrenia, bipolar, but then also into dissociative or multiple personalities disorders. It's really just not safe. There are some clinical trials that are exploring some of these areas, but you know, broadly speaking, these are things that are contraindicated. There are also prescription medications, so like SSRIs, and these medicines are as really a no-go. So people mm-hmm. need to come off their medications if they are going to explore plant medicine. And then, you know, the context is super important as well. So, you know, as I shared before, this can reconnect parts of your brain. So I really would encourage people, if they are exploring this, that they do so in a super safe, super supported environment. You know, when I hear about people taking something and going to a concert, and you know, you can just unlock your childhood trauma while you're there in a crowd of 20,000 wow. people. And it's like, that's just not the right time and place. And I'm all for having fun and, you know, enjoying yourself. Don't get me wrong, but there's a time and a place to explore the self. And so being super, super, super conscious, super aware of the set and setting for these experiences is important.
And of course, you guys are professionals. You create that set and setting. You know all the how to keep people safe. You have small groups. And for many, many people, they're having really meaningful and mind-expanding and life-enriching experiences with you.
They are. And look, I always say to my team, if through establishing our business, we help just one person have a massive shift, then it's all been worthwhile. And we've been super lucky. We've been able to help many, many more people than that. But, you know, everything that just happens between helping people is just business stuff. And it's really all about helping people.
Well, fantastic, Jonathan. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
Okay. And for those of you listening, this is Dave Sherwin wishing you health and success.
Thank you for listening to the Dairobi Health Show. And if we mentioned any products, the statements regarding them have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. The products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. And all the information given here is for informational purposes only. If you have a medical condition, of course, get professional help from a licensed practitioner in that field. I am happy to help you with dietary questions. I am a certified fitness nutrition coach. And when it comes to dietary issues, I am certified to answer questions along those lines and would be happy to do so. If you go to dairobi.com and scroll down, you'll see where you can schedule a 20-minute free health evaluation with me, which I would absolutely enjoy and be glad to do at any time.